This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com. Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
And alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Eric Scalavino for the first of several Draft Prospect Review Podcasts as we have just about a month to go before the 2012 NFL Draft. We're going to start today, guys, with the quarterback position. Not one of the strongest in recent memory, but still some star power here. And
it's kind of like me. It's top heavy.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Sorry.
Heavy on the heavy, that's for sure.
I think this Luck kid can play.
Yeah? You think so? Okay. Not a position of great need either for New England, obviously, but
I like this Brady guy, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good. They drafted a quarterback last year, obviously, in Ryan Mallett. Brian Hoyer reportedly has just signed his restricted free agent tender, according to reports that are out there right now in the Twitterverse. But, guys, I wouldn't be totally shocked either if they tried to add another little bit of competition at this spot. What do you think?
Late competition, and the way their draft picks are set up right now, you don't have any picks after the fourth round. There's a lot of positions we've talked, you know, tight end will be one of them where we talk about the need isn't there. You have guy, you have your starter and your backup. You're going to need to add a body maybe for training camp or for developmental purposes, but you may have to do that this year with undrafted free agents because you just don't have those sixth and seventh round picks to go after because they're certainly not going to draft a quarterback, I would think. You know, we've been wrong before, but in the first four rounds.
Now listen, if RG3 slips to 27,
I think Bill will take him.
I think that's good value.
I agree.
Okay, we've all looked at the tapes of all of the main quarterback prospects this year. Obviously, you said Luck can play. I think we all agree on that.
He's solid.
This RG3 kid is pretty good too. That's why they gave him the Heisman.
I just don't like his left arm thing that he wears, the sleeve.
Well, good thing he throws with his right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But aside from those two guys who are going to go 1-2, just the order might still be a little bit up in the air one goes first.
I'm not buying that, by the way. If Luck doesn't go to Indy, I'd be stunned.
I would kind of,
absolutely
too.
Absolutely stunned,
kind of
cold,
too.
Stunned.
I would as well.
If you're that young GM, you're really going to make what would be a controversial decision with your first choice? I don't think
the
so.
The guy we already thought had
anybody there.
Ryan Grigson is nothing if not a riverboat gambler.
Him.
Right.
That's done. Luck to New England. Luck to Indy, not to New England.
Andy
and RG3 to Washington.
Okay, so the consensus number three, it seems like, is Texas A&M's Ryan Tannehill.
Correct.
What do we think of him, guys?
Very athletic, very much unfinished product. He's got some developing to do, but he can throw. There's no question about that, and he can move. He's, I don't think, has as much experience reading defenses as the top two guys, and doesn't have, I don't think, the physical skills of either one of those two guys either. I don't want to make it sound like he's just reps away from being Luck or Griffin. He's not, but he also doesn't have the reps to go with, I think, less.
But that hurts you. I mean, that's part of your value, your development.
But
I mean,
a lot of people
think
he's
the leading receiver, 2 years, 3 years ago. He was the team's leading receiver.
Yep.
Then he's a quarterback. I'm not sure he's going to get pushed into the first round, it sounds
because
like.
Because, as Eric said, it's a pretty weak class.
I don't think he's of that value.
I agree.
And there are some teams that might be a little bit desperate for quarterback help because they didn't win out on some of the free agent sweepstakes, so they might be more tempted to reach for a guy like him.
If I were one of those teams, by the way, and I totally agree with Eric on that, I would take Brandon Wheaton because
I like him more too.
You know, I think he's a better player. I think people are scared off because of the age. He's an older guy. He played some baseball and whatnot. But to me, he's a much more finished product. So if you're going to reach for a guy who has flaws, is the reason why you're able, maybe at the end of the first round or in the second round even, if you have the opportunity to get a quarterback, why not get a guy who you think, I think you could plug him in right away like Andy Dalton last year.
Or Chris Wanky.
Yeah, well, Chris Wanky would be the argument against taking
Brandon. I don't think so. I think he was fine. He played.
For a very short amount of time.
But he was a starting caliber quarterback. I'm not sure Tannehill is.
I don't think he was.
Oh, I do.
Chris Wanky went 1-15.
If the guy sucked, his team sucked. Are we blaming that all on
him? I don't think
him?
He was very good.
See, I think he was fine. But I don't think either of them are going to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion. I think you have two starting quarterbacks that are surefire starters in the NFL.
I would agree.
Are the first two. Beyond that, you're hoping. And that's the bottom line. I don't care how old a guy is or what. If he can play, you're going
to
be happy with
him. But I think he'll be able to play right away.
If you only get 4 years out of him. But even that's irrelevant.
Well, if he couldn't play right away, I wouldn't take a 26-year-old kid.
See, I don't care.
He's 28, actually.
If you can get – see, that doesn't bother me as much because even if I only get 5 years out of him, that's all that matters if he can play. If he's 5 years, I find another one in 5 years. If the other guy, woohoo, I got him for 12.
Right.
If he sucks for all 12, I have nothing.
No, I would agree. I would take – that's why I brought it up in the first place. I would take Wheaton over
– and I also just think Wheaton's a better player.
Yeah. What else you got?
Paul, one of the guys that impressed us at the Combine was Michigan State's Kirk Cousins.
Oh, very impressed by
very
the person.
Very impressive person.
Not so much by the player. But
okay,
the person,
that's, well, that's
absolutely.
What I was going to go with. Now that we've seen his tape, he's obviously relevant also to us because – he was the backup for Brian Hoyer when Brian Hoyer was at Michigan State and has had a great four-year career when Hoyer left to come to New England. You're not as impressed with him as a player.
Again, it's the physical skills that I would look at. And by all accounts, this guy is one of those players, one of those people that you want in your organization. He's intangibles off the charts, leadership off the charts. I think he's got a lot of things going for him. People that listen to PFW in Progress probably know how we all feel about Brian Hoyer. Physically, we think he's sort of lacking. We're not quite sure he's going to be a starting quarterback the way most people around here think it's a foregone conclusion. Matter of fact, I heard one local reporter refer to him as the second-best quarterback right now in the AFC East, Brian Hoyer. Well, Kirk Cousins is Brian Hoyer without the skill, in my opinion. He's a great kid, a great leader.
Paul likes Kirk
Cousins. I'm getting that vibe. Yeah.
Physically, he doesn't have the arm that Brian Hoyer has, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not no scout by any means, but watching him at Michigan State, and they're on a lot. You get to see a lot of Big Ten games. Love him. Love his compete level, as they say. Not sure. Physically, he has what it takes to succeed in the NFL.
Somebody once said the truth is never mean. Do you believe that what Paul said is the truth, or is it just mean?
No, he has no chance of being an NFL quarterback.
Oh, see, now that's mean. What I said wasn't mean. I gave you 75 things to love about Kirk Cousins, and he goes, no, he has no chance to play.
You didn't give me one thing to love about him being an NFL quarterback.
No chance to play in the NFL.
You said you'd let him babysit your kids and be the godfather to your kids.
Oh, I'd be
whatever.
Happy. If I had a daughter, I'd be happy if she
John
married.
Elway joins us for the podcast.
Kirk Cousins.
Speaking of Hoyer backups, Nick Foles is sort of the other end.
Nick
of the
Foles
spectrum.
Five
transferred to Arizona from Michigan State. Big, 6'5", 240. The question is, can he play?
Not sure.
Put up some numbers there. Had reportedly a bad pro day where, quote, he couldn't throw spirals, which never good. But if you're looking for a guy who
was that Paul Perillo
who's getting the old down arrow and maybe the Patriot. God forbid, maybe he's a guy that just ends up as being an undrafted guy or a seventh-round pick. Maybe just the pure physical. He kind of reminds me of Joe Flacco, where he kind of has those heavy feet. He's big. He can make some throws.
Joe Flacco can throw a spiral, though.
Well, I'm assuming since he threw for, 4,800 yards, some of them were spirals. It's hard to throw end over end for 4,800
He's having a bad
yards.
Day,
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he's – and that's why he's not an elite prospect.
He also has the hair thing that you don't
like. Yeah, he's got questionable hair, but we have razors at Gillette Stadium. We take care of it.
A couple of other names that might not be familiar to the everyday observer of football. Brock Osweiler, another big – you mentioned Joe Flacco, that type of size, 6'7", 240. Kind of an intriguing from that aspect, but what do you think of what we saw of him on tape?
I like him a lot more than Foles.
Sure.
Still kind of a raw talent,
though,
it seems to me.
He only had 12 or 15 college starts, kind of limited. Athletic, though, had a basketball scholarship to Gonzaga, so he's a guy that's got some athleticism and obviously the height, which they like in that sport.
He was, by the way, a tick under 6'8 at the combine.
Another guy, I don't think he'll be around late because I think his size and the intrigue of he's raw and they can develop him will get him drafted. So my guess is he's not a Patriot target.
Any interest in either a couple of relatively smaller guys, Chandler Harnish or B.J. Coleman, guys who played at smaller schools? Coleman was a transfer from Tennessee,
right,
who left to get some more playing time. But any interest in either of those two guys as either a UFA or if they get a late-round pick, maybe picking him up?
Coleman I didn't like. I didn't think he could throw. I thought he has issues. And the other guy is like an athletic runner.
They're both athletic, I agree with Andy. I don't think they throw very well.
Yeah, you're talking about a Julian Edelman where you're not a quarterback, I don't think.
That's exactly what I thought watching Chandler Harnish is, this is probably what Edelman looked like.
Right. but one guy I'm actually intrigued by, we didn't have any footage on, is Aaron Korp out of Richmond. I'm always intrigued by those Richmond and Delaware types, that area of the country. And he's a USC transfer, some injuries.
Just he started ahead guys, of Matt Barkley,
right,
originally.
Then got hurt. And he's just one of those guys, you know, if you're going to take a Matt Castle type, well, this is kind of down that road. You know, he's athletic, had the skills coming out of high school, college career didn't work out, blah, 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 development.
And the one guy down the list that I would say sort of, you know, impressed me a little bit, if you're not too afraid of going back to San Diego State, is Ryan Lindley. Athletic guy who could throw as well. Nothing jumped out at you, which is why he's a mid-round to late-round prospect. But I thought, you know, physically he looked the part. 6'4", about 230. So he was a guy that I thought was somewhat impressive. But, you know, they went to that San Diego State well with a guy
Kevin
who
O'Connell.
who had
the best tape we've ever
by
seen.
By the way, a very similar career. I mean, like a 4-year starter.
Yeah.
Played in a pro. I mean, Brian Sipe was their offensive coordinator, so he plays in a pro system. And you know, obviously, it didn't work out for O'Connell. So I don't know if you want to just sit there and say, well, he has all these things going for him, so he must be able to translate. O'Connell didn't, but you know, no two guys are ever the same.
Does
so,
Lindley throw his dump off passes at the ankles?
End over end.
And a couple of names you might know, but we haven't mentioned because I think we all agree they're probably not going to be major NFL prospects. Kellen Moore, Boise State. And Case Keenum from Houston put up a lot of numbers, but they're on the very smaller side, you know, barely 6 feet, 200
very
pounds.
Smaller side.
Well, as a relatively, like I was saying, smaller 6'2 for, you know, guys like Cousins. But I don't think you're going to get much run out of those
Russell
guys.
Russell Wilson,
at the end,
too.
From Wisconsin.
He's even smaller.
If you're
he's
under 6'2. Everybody likes to say, well, Drew Brees did it, but Drew Brees is like 6'1 and change, 6'2. These guys are like 2-3 inches shorter than Drew Brees. So the shorter you get, the hard. I'm not saying none of them will ever do it. Maybe one of them will wow us and do something, but chances are none of those guys are going to be NFL quarterbacks with any success.
And before we let you all go, just want you to know if you want to see what we have seen on all these players, you can go to Patriots.com on the homepage, click on the draft section. You can watch all the videos of the quarterbacks that we just talked about. Make your own assessment of what you think the talent level is for these players available. That's going to do it for this Draft Prospect Review podcast. We're going to be back in a few days with another one, so join us then.